MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Cast Iron Supplements, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Never Tap, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and ACS Live TV. Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media. Design. Always supporting local MMA. You're listening to MMAMadhouse.com live.
Night edition of Madhouse Live. I want to give a big shout out. Thank you to all our great sponsors. Let's kick this show off right. You guys know my partner in crime just got released today. Let's welcome him back.
Selection. Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls you nothing except for your mama.
What's up, Mr.
What's
Lamonti?
Going on, man? Shit, man, the sun is out. The temperature is up. The mercury is rising. It's hot. I like it. It's going to be a kick-ass show. But then I just read that Brian Stann is going to be announcing the pay-per-view 163 instead of Joe Rogan, and I'm like, lame.
Dude, I agree. What's wrong?
Nothing against Brian Stann, but come on.
Dude, yeah, I agree. I think you can't go wrong with Joe Rogan and what's his nuts, Goldie.
Yeah.
They have a rapport with each other. They know how to finish each other's thoughts. They know when one's going to work into a certain angle, and he seems to be able to follow. And then you've got the comedic edge and that fan edge that you give Rogan. It's important. I think that is part of the sell of those pay-per-views is Joe Rogan. Let's be honest. A lot of people look forward to his commentating because of his passion about the sport.
No, for sure. And I think it's funny that people, like, hate on him. And, like, they're like, oh, you made, like, they criticize every little mistake he makes. Cracks me up. But enough about that. Who cares, man? It's a big night on our show tonight, bro. We got Kristen Brown, the founder of Live to Fight Inc., will be joining us. We got Byron Boom Fernandez at 7:05-ish. And then we've got Lovato's Gym, dude, rocking it down there in
New Mexico. And I got a bomb about that one, folks. Russell
a bomb, huh?
Wilson
is it a,
will
is
be
it
joining Russell? Us live.
Well, yeah, everybody's going to be joining us live, dude. That's not like, what, is he going to join us later? When, like, he's going to record his shit and then he's going to play it over instead of talk?
Dude, you're funny. And then also Josh Lanier. He is the BJJ coach down there. Guy's got a great pedigree. He even fought, so he gives that better feel as a coach when he brings that BJJ game in because he is training mixed martial artists, so it's going to be great to talk to him as well. he is one of the coaches for Russell. And that's a big deal, man. Russell's stepping up, man. He's got a serious opportunity. So it's going to be a great show tonight, folks. You're not going to want to miss any of it. So,
dude, Skippy's like got this new desk in his part of the studio. And you would think, like, all of a sudden he's, like, some kind of a professional, man. Like, he's, like, sitting here all stern-faced and serious right now. If you guys could see him, dude, it's like, I'm like, what the hell happened? The only difference I see is now, like, I have to see part of this desk on the camera, like, all day because, you know, our rooms are separated by about 200 miles. And, so I see, like, half the picture is desk, and then there's, like, Skippy's bald head, and then this Madhouse logo. Like, quit trying, I know about the brand. I, you know, let's fix the camera.
Oh, shit. I tell you,
like,
what,
at least pull it closer to the edge of the desk so that I don't have to look at the dust that's being stored up on top of the new entertainment center or whatever desk system you've got. There you go.
I gotta give a big shout out, man, because Brooks Firearms, a local retailer here, he went out and got me this. And I mean, the board and everything mounted perfectly. I mean, everything's mounted from my monitors. Dude, it's a beautiful desk, man. I couldn't ask for something better. But I mean, shit, all our sponsors have been stepping up. We've been getting some mad love lately from the MMA world, man, and sponsor world. So I got to give a big shout out to Vision Smoke Shop for the cannabis energy drink. Found available at Vision Smoke Shop. Get one cold today, straight from Amsterdam, folks.
What does it taste like?
Dude, it's sweet. It's like a sweeter version of Red Bull, but it's got this beautiful, like, aftertaste from the hemp seed oil. It's phenomenal, and it's a powerful little energy drink in such a small can. And I'm really happy that Derek, world champion trike racer from Central Oregon Trike, another one of our great sponsors, triked me those over today.
Oh, man, what a guy.
Yeah. What a good guy. He said he was sitting on his couch. He goes, I saw their ad. He goes, I knew you wanted one. So I hit him up. I triked over and got you some. I was like, dude, you're a baller, bro.
He's crazy. Have you got a hold of our guest yet?
Oh, no. I was, sorry, randomly BSing. Here, go ahead. Take over.
God dang, man. Well, he's actually not paying attention, and I'm having to remind him to do his job. Now we can talk about EFC Africa that Skippy's gone here for a split second. It's going down tomorrow morning at 7:15 for those of us on the Pacific Standard Time and 10:15 for those of you on the East Coast. Figure out your time zone accordingly if you're not in either of those. But you've got a sick little card, Demarte Pena versus Abdul Hassan for the featherweight title. Going to be an interesting little fight. We've also got Bernardo Machishi versus Soares Grobelaar in a big heavyweight tilt that's a co-main event. It's going to be sick. And finally, Skippy did his job, and we'll talk more about EFC Africa later tonight. But for right now, we're being joined by Kristen Brown of Live to Fight, Inc. Kristen, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I thought you guys forgot about me.
Skippy,
no, ma'am.
Sometimes Skippy has a problem. Sometimes he gets distracted by the bright, shiny things of life, and then he forgets
yeah.
what we're supposed to be doing.
Oh, with a name like Skippy, I mean, that's bound to happen. I'm sorry, Skippy. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'd like to welcome you to Madhouse Live. You're on with Lopaki and Skippy, and we're honored to talk about your wonderful organization tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be on your program. Thank you very much. Be gentle. Be kind.
We're just here to have fun and spread the word.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How was your travels?
I'm exhausted right now. I just got in a little while ago. And then I went, I'm sorry if my phone goes off. I just got in a little while ago, and then I went right to kayaking. So I'm shot right
nice.
Now. I'm a little tired. Yeah. I'm staying with my friend's kids. One of the inspirations for my organization was Reggie Cardiel. He was a fighter here in Tacoma, in Seattle, and he passed away recently. So I'm actually friends with his children still. So I'm staying with his kids, and I'm going to be taking his kids to the UFC in Seattle this weekend. So,
right on.
He's been, yeah, it's very, very cool. Dana White actually is gave me the tickets, which is awesome. But we just went kayaking. We're going to be doing fishing and the whole thing. But I'm on like a high right now. I'm a little wired, so sorry about that.
No, don't apologize. We'll just ride it. We'll ride it out.
Okay, good.
Do you want to maybe kind of tell everybody about Live to Fight and what you guys are, your mission and stuff?
Sure. Well, I mentioned Reggie. Reggie was one of my very good friends, and he had stage 4 neuroendocrine cancer. I myself am a cancer survivor. And basically my organization is, it's called Live to Fight, and it's for people in the MMA community who are suffering from cancer and other life-threatening diseases. And what I want to do is raise money for people like Reggie, people like my jiu-jitsu teacher. His son is not even 2 years old, and he has a very rare pediatric cancer. I decided to do this organization just like the past couple of months. I had a double mastectomy for breast cancer, but I had cancer when I was younger also. And I thought about doing it a couple of years ago when I was at a seminar for Dan Miller, for the UFC's Dan Miller. His son had polycystic kidney disease. And I realized there was no resources for anyone, no, for fighters or for fighters' families who were in need of help. So, I decided to do this just about 2 months ago. And it's been really, it's going to be huge. I'm getting a lot of support from really some amazing people. I have Chris Weidman, who just knocked out Anderson Silva. He is one of my board of directors. I have Octavia Bourdain, who is really big in the MMA scene. I also have Sambo Steve Kofler, who started the coalition to legalize MMA in New York. He's another one of my board of directors. And I have a Bellator fighter, Jeff Nader. I have a couple other people who aren't as well known, but they're just as amazing individuals. And we're just starting out, but we're gonna be really big. Do a lot of good things for a lot of amazing people.
Yeah, I know that Reggie left a really lasting mark here in the Pacific Northwest. Skippy and I are good friends with one of his old training partners, Eddie Blackburn.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a sad time for to see him pass like that. And it's good to see that you're out helping and working with his kids now and still in contact with him.
Yeah, it was. Now I'm gonna cry. It was. He became one of my best friends, and I wanted to do this and I wanted to honor him in some way, and I feel like there's so many more people out there that people don't know about. When I said I was gonna do this, if anybody knows him or knew him, they knew like what a hard ass he was and how stubborn he was. And I'd say like, I want to do a fundraiser for you, and he was like, I don't want your son. Fundraisers, do it for somebody who needs it. So there are so many people who need help. So I'm going to be doing basically one of the ways I'm going to be raising money is by doing instructional seminars. So we're going to be traveling around doing seminars, and my first one is at Henzo Gracie's in Manhattan. It's September 29th. And you can register online, or you can go online, you can donate, you can buy T-shirts. But you mentioned Eddie Blackburn. He's awesome. He's going to be, he's putting my logo on his banner for his upcoming fight. I have a couple other fighters who are doing that, and just basically, helping me spread the word about this cause. Reggie had a huge impact on a lot of people's lives, people that he never even met. The MMA.tv is a website, MMA website. And he affected so many people's lives, that people who, he didn't even know them, but he made such a mark and left such a mark. So this is just something that I have to do, and I'm hopefully gonna help a lot of people. I have a lot of people that I want to help already, but if anyone needs help, if they know of anyone, it doesn't have to be fighters that I'm helping. Like I said, my jiu-jitsu teacher's son, family members of people who train, if you train, or if you someone who's very, very close to you, it's just people in our community. It's a very close-knit community, so you know, tell me your story and why you need help, and I'll go help, you know, with my board of directors, and we'll discuss it, and we'll see what we can do to help you. So that's basically about it.
I'd like to touch on something that I find really actually interesting and great to see on your website, and folks, that's livethefight.org.
Mm-hmm.
On the Join the Fight section, you're not just asking for money. You're asking for volunteers, hosts, and different people to step up. It's not always about money. And it seems like so many other charities, why are you guys going that route and asking for other things separate from money?
Because not everybody has money. You know, I've been involved with volunteer work and charity work my whole entire life, and I'm not the richest person in the world. So I'm broke ass chick, and I'm trying to start a nonprofit organization. Like, what am I thinking? You know, I love MMA, so it's like my two passions: helping people and MMA. And I realize that a lot of other people, you know, want to help. What can you do? You can do something. You know. If everybody does one little thing, you can help so many people. So I know that there's somebody's got a school somewhere that can host a seminar. I know that there's, you know, buy a T-shirt. You're going to buy an ugly-ass T-shirt in the mall, buy my T-shirt. You know, my T-shirt, is all the proceeds are going to my organization. There's so many things that we can do, and I feel like everybody says, like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, or, you know, there's plenty of time, or somebody else is going to do it. Like, I did the same thing. When I went to Dan Miller's seminar, I thought, oh, somebody should do a charity. Somebody should definitely make a charity like this. And then a couple of years go by and nobody did it. So I thought, you know, hell, I'll do it. You know, I'll do it. And it's just like life is so short. So if everybody just get off their asses and do a little something, you don't have to give me $500,000. Not everybody has that. You don't have to give me $50,000. You don't have to give me, you know, $50. Just a little something. If everybody does something, and even like tweets, everybody has Twitter now. You know, just help spread the word. A little bit goes a long way. You know, it's just, I'm just really passionate about just get off your ass and do something. Life is so short. You know, I've been very, very sick. I've been, obviously cancer is not an easy thing to beat, but I've done it. And I know that there are ways to do it. And I just hate the fact that I lost, like, my best friend. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to see other people. I don't want to see other people lose, you know, this fight. So.
I gotta say that, you know, reading that, the first thing I thought is, you know, hey, it would be no problem for me to come to an event and help clean up or set up or, you
mm-hmm.
know, volunteer some time, you know, getting rides for people to the event. I mean, I'll be honest, I might be in the same boat as you sometimes. You know, I know a lot of people look at it like we're driving around in Bentleys, but it's not the reality. And I like the fact that you blatantly, openly state that, please, it's not about money, it's about help for the whole community.
Right.
So I love that aspect of your company and the whole company in general, but I really like how you're addressing and bringing the community together to help.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing was, like, I was trying to find a way when I was, you know, trying to think of, like, my taglines and my slogan. You know, I ended up with some live to fight, others fight to live. And I was just basically, because it is like people in the community, in the MMA community, coming together to help people in the MMA community. You know, I'm going to need people to serve water at my seminars. I'm going to need a company to donate water. On the other hand, it's two extremes. You know, I'm going to need, like you said, there's something for everyone to do. There's a job for everyone to do. And I have, right now, I have amazing board members, and they're working their ass off. You know, Chris is, he just won the UFC middleweight championship, yet he is still 100% committed to live to fight, which to me shows what a great human being is. And if he can be that busy and still working with me, then, you know, the common everyday Joe can be doing shit too. Doing stuff too.
No, shit's fine. Shit's great. We actually prefer when you say shit.
Shit.
Because, you know, it holds the listener's attention a little bit better than when we revert back to, like, stuff.
Stuff. Okie dokie.
You know.
I won't say stuff. but thank you for noticing that, appreciating that.
Oh, definitely, young lady. And actually, we've got a caller ready for you.
Young lady. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Yes. Mr. Eddie Blackburn is live.
Oh, Eddie, I was just going to text you. Hi.
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. I was just going to text you and tell you that I was here. How are you?
Good, good. I just want to say that it's an honor to wear your logo on my shorts and my banner for my upcoming fight, and you know I'm going to support you any way I possibly can.
Oh, and you're going to make me cry.
No, it's all good.
Oh, shit. Thank you so much.
And
God,
if I haven't told
everybody
enough, Eddie is fighting in September, and everybody's looking forward to it, and it's going to be a packed house, so it'll be great for everybody, you know, to get to have that moment.
Oh, Eddie, that means so much to me. Fuckers, you're making me cry. No, really, because, you know, you're doing it for Reggie, and that's like, oh, my God, I'm sitting on his floor right now. I'm at his house right now, just so you know. And I'm sitting in his old bedroom, so this, like,
right.
Oh, my God, it's a little bit emotional.
Hey, Rob, I'm doing this fight also, you know, for, he's a really good friend of mine that died of cancer, and, you know, and I never fought at 170 before, so welterweight with his weight, and I'm kind of doing this and dedicating this fight to Reggie, so it's a huge honor to be able to wear her logo, because she's, you know, she's got great meanings for what she's doing.
Yeah,
I know, Eddie, that was a really tough time for you when that all went down, and I think it's great that you focused all your, you know, like you're focusing a lot of that energy on this positive situation. How were you first alerted to Live to Fight?
Kristen got a hold, you know, she's contacted me and she wanted to meet me and stuff and kind of talk buddy stories about Reggie, you know, a big part of her life. And then I, you know, just one day that I was looking at Facebook and I saw that she had, you know, and I knew she was going to start something, and I saw that she had started this. So, you know, and I definitely want to be a part of it, and I'll possibly do anything, like I said, that I can to help her.
Yeah, I basically wanted to get drunk with him and a bunch of training buddies to hear old training stories, which we will do while I'm here, correct?
For sure, for sure.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Rob, I hope she likes to eat because it's about 90 in the gym right now.
I wouldn't expect it to be any less, Eddie. I'm actually surprised it's not like 102 in there right now.
Yeah, I got my 10 rounds of sparring out of the way. Now it's Alfonso and everybody else is starting to go with Alan, so I'm done for the day.
Poor Alan. Alan's going like 40 rounds, and you guys are like, oh, like,
Alan's
got
a beast,
my 10,
dude.
Man.
Alan's a monster, bro.
Oh,
hey, now, Kristen, one of the cool things I got to talk to you about in was the roll-a-thon idea. I thought that would be really awesome, and if we could maybe talk about that to alert some of the gyms that are in areas that, you know, where that are listening in right now, maybe we could get that kind of a ball rolling for you.
Oh, that would be awesome. Well, so I'm obsessed, and all I think about is Live to Fight, and I have no life besides this. So I was driving one day and I almost crashed my car because I thought, oh my God, why don't we do a roll-a-thon? And there's, you know, there's grapple-a-thon out there, but I want to do something bigger. I want to do, you know, like a 24-hour roll-a-thon, but I want to do basically a, like national. I want to do a school in every state. And it doesn't have to just be BJJ, even though that's like very close to my heart. You know, it could be whatever, sambo, judo, you know, no-gi, grappling, anything. And just have people sponsor you for an amount of time that you roll. And that's the way, one of the ways you make money. And go from New York through the East Coast, go down, you know, go across Midwest and go to West Coast, Pacific Northwest, and basically, you know, raise a shit ton of money for Live to Fight.
Well, I like it. Do you
love it?
I do. I think it's great. I think that's another great way to pull the community in, with a passion that a lot of those guys already have, and that's, you know, the ground. So I think it's a great idea. I really do. Now, is this,
if anyone's interested, sorry?
Go ahead, young lady. Go.
No, I haven't been called a young lady in quite some time. I like it. No, if anyone's interested in that or anything, contact, you know, you can go on the website and there's a contact me section. But you can also just contact my personal email. It's kristen@livetofight.org. kristen@livetofight.org. I would, like, I'm going to be doing a lot of things East Coast, so I have a lot of connections with a lot of the schools on the East Coast. But obviously I'm going to be West Coast Pacific, you know, Northwest because of Reggie's family, and I am going to be going national. So if anybody wants to do anything out here, I want to get in touch with Matt Hume. You know, that's somebody I'd like to talk to. But, you know, if anybody has any ideas or anything that they would want to do, like host a seminar, please contact me. You know, I'm as you can tell, pretty passionate about this. But I'm sorry I cut you off. What were you going to say?
Oh, well, no, that's great that you were able to do that. I was going to ask you, you answered my question, is what if somebody like in Texas or, you know, Indiana or Colorado wants to do something with somebody?
Yeah, well, you can contact me. I also, okay, so right now my website is actually a temporary one. It's great. It was designed by Jason Perez, who's the manager at Henzo Gracie's, but I'm working with a company that designs websites specifically for nonprofit organizations, and there's going to be microsites added to it, so you can have a private, like your own personal fundraising page, but you're also going to be able to register for any seminars that you want. And so it's going to be easy to do that nationally. Like, I'll be in New York, but you'll be able to register for a seminar, say, in, you know, East Bumblefuck, like Washington. Do you know what I mean? So
yep.
That's going to be in my new website, which is going to be coming within, like, the next 2 months.
Excellent. Hey, hold on.
Yeah.
Hey,
Rob.
We have to wrap this up. Eddie. Yeah, you go
hey,
ahead.
Hey, bro. Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm going to get off here. I just wanted to say hi and all that good stuff. And I'm also doing a show, an MMA show. Can you allow me here a minute? They're hitting time pass. I'm doing an MMA show October 12th, and I would love to talk to you, Kristen, about maybe doing some kind of silent auction, like get a bunch of people to donate some stuff, and we'll raise money, and we'll send it your way.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Thank you.
So let's talk about
to.
That. Okay. Perfect. Hey, Ross.
Okay.
Right. Love you guys. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, Eddie, thank you for taking the time out, buddy. Have a great night, and I'll talk to you later, brother.
Eddie,
right,
thank you
later.
So much for everything.
Bye. For sure.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, thank you guys for making me cry. What was that?
I'm
that
sorry.
That was so not
like,
called for.
I'm wondering if that's good radio, but I think it was awesome because I think people really got to see the passion that you have for this, and they'll know, you know, that it's something that really drives you, and we really appreciate the openness that you were with us just now.
Oh wow, thank you. I was not prepared for that, but not cool. Yeah. I'm like a little bit speechless right now, but thank you very much because I actually was just about to text him before you guys called and say that I'm going on your show. So. A little bit.
Yeah.
Feel a little
I'm
bit.
I'm so glad
that
Eddie gave us your information and we were able to reach out to you.
Yes, I'm so glad too. I'm looking for sponsors. So one thing that I'm doing with my seminars, which is a little bit cool, I think, which I've been to a bunch of seminars. I'm doing goodie bags, so you know people walk away with something and they feel like they've gotten something. You know, not just like, you know, you're not just helping out Live to Fight, but you're also going to walk away with a goodie bag. You know, with some gifts. Which I think is cool.
That, you know, once again, I mean, the passion that you talked about, the passion that the fans around the world tonight listening are hearing from you, and the passion that you're, you know, trying to instill in all the fans, it's phenomenal, man. And folks, I'm going to repeat it again. It's livetofight.org. Please go there, check it out. Tweet them. I've noticed tonight quite a few people are already sharing our links to the show and to her website.
Oh, yay.
Everybody... You guys, get out there and do this. This is, it doesn't matter if you're an AMI, a pro, if you're a BJJ practitioner, maybe your uncle's sick. She's willing to hear all stories and try to give you help. And folks, we all had friends who've gotten sick and wanted to know how to help. And this is, I'll be honest, one time I'm truly happy to see a site that asks for more than just money. It's beautiful that you ask for help from the community to support. I know you need money as well. To continue, you do. But you give an option to those people who can't always give the money right away. And I love that. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Thank you. I mean, this is like my heart and my soul right now. I feel like I've been given a third chance at life. You know, when I got sick when I was a teenager, I beat that. You know, I just had this, you know, thing a couple months ago, and I'm actually really grateful that I went through it, you know, I'm so happy. And this is, I feel like I can help so many people. And it's not just cancer. It doesn't have, you know, obviously I'm very, very passionate about that. But it's, you know I can do this. And I have, like, no doubt in my mind that this is going to be huge. And I have no doubt in my mind that I'm going to help so many people. And, like, I love this sport. Like, I love MMA. I love BJJ. And I hate the fact that it's not legal in New York. Like, I'm from New York. I want to see it legal. We have two, you know, UFC champions in New York State that reside there. And to me, that's just ludicrous. So I also feel like if my organization can, you know, shed a little positivity on the fighters, that wouldn't hurt. And I'm also, like, I love amateur fighting. I really, like, that was, the first fight I went to was an amateur fight, and I was, like, hooked, you know? So I'm really big into, like, the local fight scene. I love, like, promoting, like, you know, local fighters and that whole scene. That's, like, really, really big for me. So I love what you guys do, too, that you're really big into that. I think that's awesome. Because not enough credit goes to, like, a lot of people are, like, UFC fans and not, like, MMA fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
for me, it's just
Well, we were just saying yes, man. We were just agreeing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love the UFC. I'm going to the fights this weekend. I love them. Like, it's great. But, you know, there's so many other promotions out there that people don't, you know of because it's, and so many other fighters that people don't know of because they're not in the UFC. It's just, so, you know, I'm trying to spread a little light on that, too, with my organization.
If you're up, because you're on the West Coast, tomorrow about 7:30, EFC Africa is going to be live.
Okay.
It's a great event. Just if you happen to
it
be
is a great
out
event,
at 7:30 in the morning.
I probably won't be up at 7:30 in the morning, but I am going fishing tomorrow. Isn't that exciting? I haven't been fishing in like 20 years.
No, that is awesome. I know that one of Eddie's guys was out fishing a couple weeks ago. They caught some really nice salmon, so hopefully you will have that same luck. Before we have to wrap this up, though, do you want to let everybody know again how they can get a hold of you on social media and everything like that?
Absolutely. It's livetofight.org is my website. My Twitter handle is livetofightinc, I-N-C. My personal email is kristen@livetofight.org. And what else? Kristen is K-R-I-S-T-E-N. 10, like I'm a perfect 10. That's really like it. I had somebody tell me that once. I was like, I'm using it. Let's see. What else? I think that's about it. I like long walks on the beach. Let's see. My favorite movie is...
See, that is sweet. Awesome. Well, Kristen, we really appreciate you taking the time. I know you had a long day today. I'm glad that you were able to include us in it. And
we
hope
you
have a wonderful time.
Thank you so much. And the next time I'm out here, I'm coming on your show again. I just invited myself.
Most definitely. Hey, you can come on the show when you're in New York. You can come on the show if you're in Canada. You can come on the show if you're in Brazil. Just, you know, I'll stay in touch with you and, you know, we'll keep the word out about Live to Fight.
Because I'm in Brazil,
you know what I
mean? So often, but cool. All right. I love
and
that.
You might
get to go to the rematch and maybe they do it in Brazil.
What do you mean the rematch? First of all, Chris is going to submit him this time and then there's going to be no, we're not having a rubber match. Thank you very much.
No, I think a rubber match would be the biggest fight in the history of the UFC ever.
It would. However, I just want this to be over with. It's too stressful for me.
And young lady, let me also offer our platform. We have multiple shows throughout the United States, and if you just say the word, we'll book you on shows in Florida, and on the East Coast, in the Midwest. We'll help you get as much exposure as you want.
I'm saying the word right now. Word.
Well,
I'd
then
love to.
We will. I've got your information. I'll email you some dates and available times for some of the other shows that we run so we can get you in some more areas of the country.
Sounds perfect. As long as you tell whoever is hosting to call me young lady.
Okay, you got it, young lady.
That's because... This dang Texan hillbilly that I got on this show with me, every time, this is, you know... He makes those people from Louisiana look horrible right now.
No, seriously, this guy must get all the chicks, really. Like, when you, you know, hey, young lady, he must get all the ladies. He's a Mac Daddy with that pick, like, you know, that line.
I know that all the listeners right now are all rolling on the ground laughing because they're like, yeah, right.
You've never seen me in my overalls with my comb over.
Comb overs are,
awesome.
Are, ladies love comb overs, kind of.
Hey, you gave me hope, young lady. I'm going to go out there and strive to find the prettiest chick in my family at the reunion.
You do that. No, thank you guys for having me, and thank you for everything, and thank you for making me cry. So
you're welcome.
It's been a very, very great experience, and thank you. I will talk to you soon.
Yes, most definitely.
Yes,
thank you so much, Kristen.
All right, great. Bye bye.
All right, everybody, that's Kristen Brown. Live to Fight, Inc. Go to livetofight.org. Check them out. Go to their Facebook page, Live to Fight, Inc. Make sure you give that a thumbs up. Let's see if we can get them up around 500 here by the end of the week. Come on, people. They're at like 90-something somehow. You guys all need to quit being lazy. Quit being lazy.
Get out there.
You know, you like World Star Hip Hop, you can go like Live to Fight, Inc. Dude, if you guys could see Skippy right now, he's like rolling on the ground. I don't think he knows really what just happened. Skippy has... I'm about to start laughing on the ground now. Okay, now, Skippy, you need to go and call the next guest. Okay, let's get back on task here, buddy. And, hey, here's what I'm going to do for you guys right now. I'm going to do you a really special thing here. Skippy, hit the music. Dude, where's Carl's uncle?
I'm trying to get a hold of Byron right now. Phone's just ringing.
Where's Carl's uncle?
Will Miner?
Yeah. I think people need Will Miner. We need to Will Miner the show right now.
Is this Will Miner?
Yeah. Put your hands up, Bloodsucker.
Skippy, what are you doing?
I'm trying to get up, he's live with us. Isn't that what you wanted?
Oh. I thought you said the phone. Jeff.
Well, then I'll hang up on Jeff.
No,
dude,
don't
I'm
hang up on Jeff. Jeff's listening. I wanted you to play Will Miner, the train robber, for the people.
Oh. The Will Miner vignette.
What the fuck are you doing?
Dude, it's been a crazy day.
I'm going to tell Justin that you're on like a 2-muffin maximum at work.
He don't work there anymore. I took his job.
I'm going to tell Chris.
Okay, now that, he's the boss. You can tell Chris. No, I felt bad, dude. When his dad called me and said, I fired my son. Do you want his job? I was like, yes. What are you supposed to say when a temp job like that? You know?
Yes. You say,
exactly.
Yep. Yeah, buddy. Just like that, you go, yeah, buddy.
That's exactly.
Have you found Will Miner yet, you fucking cocksucker?
It's going right now. Oh, what'd I do? Shit.
Have you called the right number? You called
the
one I just gave
you, right?
Yeah,
I called the number you gave me.
Yeah, 360-888-4539.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just making sure.
What? Oh, see, now I lost it in here.
Oh, man. Come on, bro.
I dropped the ball on this one. Okay, hold on. I got to re-upload it. Hold on. Oops. see what happens when Skippy runs the board. Okay, let's go to cancel. We don't want that. Oh, there's, that's the problem. Yes.
Okay. Where's the, what is the problem, bro?
Dude,
all right, well, everybody remember, go check out livetofight.org. You can also watch Eddie Blackburn fight Cage Warrior Combat September. He'll be supporting Live to Fight. And then, again, you know, get ready for the, you know, there'll be some type of an event at Eddie's at Cage Quest 3, October 14th. Be ready for that as well. What the hell did Skippy just do to my, oh, my God. He's turned this into amateur hour, folks. Turned it right smack into amateur hour. This is unacceptable. We're just going to dive right back into UFC Africa 21 tomorrow morning, 7:15 Pacific time. Ruan Pass, Mahmoud Hassan. God damn, I can't even talk right now. Heavyweight, another heavyweight banger. You've got Mwandi Vapi versus Pierre Bosa in a featherweight. I think that's an eliminator fight maybe for a number one contender. I haven't actually heard verification on that yet, but I'm pretty sure that's what's going on with that fight. Both those guys are some pretty fun dudes to watch. Then you'll have Boyd Allen, Henry Bosa, both going at it in a lightweight bout, lightweight tilt. Not title, tilt. I think Skippy just actually completely vanished.
No,
I'm not really
back,
sure.
And so is our guest.
Oh, good.
He is
officially
live right now.
Byron, what's going on, man?
Not much, man.
How's everything been?
Been pretty good. Just training hard, getting ready for October, man.
And do you want to tell everybody who you got in October? Or?
Yeah, I'm fighting Casey Minor. It's a rematch.
How'd the first fight go?
Huh?
How'd the first fight go?
I beat him pretty much round and pound.
And now you're giving him the rematch?
Yes, I am. I feel like he deserves that. Because he was a really good fight for me. Good challenge. Made me really work.
Now, that's interesting because, you know, if you talk to fighters and some fighters aren't fans of rematches and other fighters are, and you feel like he gave you a good fight, so you want to see if he can test you again. Is that the basic mentality?
Well, my thing is this. His team decided that that he had that fight, that I tapped in that fight, and they think that pretty much that he can beat me, so I'm going to give him an opportunity to prove that.
I like it. For the fans out there, do me a favor. Tell everybody who you are, where you're training out of, and what your record is.
I'm Byron Boone Fernandez. I train out at Brian Johnson's Academy. My record is 3-3. I just won my last recent fight, June 1st, against Robert Armas, who trains out at Eddie Blackburn's gym. And I'm just getting ready for another one, man. You know, that's how I try to do. I try to keep it humble and keep it good.
So, everything's getting back on track for you in this camp. You ready to go back and prove once again why you won the first time? What's the long term?
The long term goal for me is to try to go pro. You know, my main thing is to let Brian just put me where he's going to put me. You know, my thing is not to try to control what my destiny is. Let my coach control that. You know, let him make the fights for me. He knows what's best for me. And you know, I don't try to control none of that, man. I've learned to not to try to be the man, just be myself and fight and train hard. And if God wants me somewhere, he's going to put me there.
How long have you been at Brian Johnson?
Say that again?
How long have you been at Brian Johnson?
I've been at Brian's for about 8 months now, 8-9 months. I trained with Dennis Hallman for about a good 2.5 years. And once Dennis Hallman with the Team Quest, I decided to come over here because it was closer to home for me. And plus, I knew Brian Johnson, and I need to really work on my stand-up. And there's no better place to get your stand-up than Brian Johnson's.
I like you thinking.
Say again?
I said, I like your thinking. I mean, it's a smart choice. I mean, it really is. You found something you wanted to fine-tune in your game. You did. You picked a pretty good place to go do it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. He's an awesome guy, man. He really looks out for his fighters. You know, he doesn't put you in positions you shouldn't be in. You know, he won't put you in fighters that you shouldn't go against. You know, he makes sure that you're okay, you know. He doesn't give you easy fights where you just beat a guy, but he doesn't give you a fight that's out of your league, put it that way, you know. Like with me, I don't have a wrestling background, so I'm learning how to wrestle, but jiu-jitsu is one of my number one specialties. I love doing jiu-jitsu, but stand-up is something I've been really working hard on, and it's getting better, you know, but everything takes time, and I realize that.
Now, Byron, what got you into the game?
You know, what got me in was Brad Blackburn. I grew up with Brad Blackburn, and, you know, I liked to get in trouble when I was a kid. I liked to fight a lot when I was a kid, and it ended up getting me in a little bit of trouble. So when I came back to Washington, Brad Blackburn asked me if I wanted to learn how to fight, you know, professionally or do MMA, so I was like, sure. And then once I got with Dennis Hallman, he just took me under his wing, man. And I learned from there, you know, didn't know no wrestling, no jiu-jitsu, nothing. And I just took me a while to pick up on it, but I did, you know, and I just fell in love with the game, man. I mean, to me, it saved my life, you know, it saved me from going back to prison and getting all kinds of stuff I shouldn't have gotten into.
Oh, sorry, I thought Abaki was going to have a follow-up question. Now,
I thought you were leaning in.
I was getting a cigarette, Abaki. Now, with you talking about, you know, moving camps, did you find that when you had a new set of, you know, teammates to work with, did you find anybody that just frustrated you, like, with their game? Like, you felt like, this is great because I'm going to definitely learn something because this guy's just getting to me?
Yeah. Ashley Harris, Brian Johnson's idea. Even Dennis Hallman's idea, too. They had a good bit of guys there that will whoop me up really well, that taught me a lot too. But you know, I came here to Brian Johnson's and I got to start working with Kano Melvin. And I started learning a lot, like working a lot of one on one. He's from Marcelo Alonso. Working a lot of one on one with him on my jiu-jitsu game, and then my stand up I would just get my ass kicked regardless. you know, so a lot of the guys here, you know, really taught me a lot, and I have a really good friend in Cardi Punzelin, you know, a female who's been kickboxing for 11 years, who's taught me a lot also. We did a lot of one-on-one, you know. So, you know, I've taken a lot of good butt-whooping on the stand-up and jiu-jitsu part, and that's what gets me better. You know, I like going against people like that because I figure if I go against somebody that's easier than I can beat, I'm not going to learn anything. But if I go against somebody that's going to kick me in my butt and make me work, then, hey, you know, I can't do nothing but get better, you know. My last three fights have proven that just from getting my butt whooped in this gym. You know, that is proven that if you take a butt whooping, you also give one.
True.
That's true a lot, but I've seen some guys that just take them.
Yeah, I agree. Some just take it, but that's the ones who think they know it all, too, you know. I'm always one for learning new things, man. If I see something, if somebody get me in a submission that I've never seen before, my thing is, can you teach me how to do that? How can I escape that? How can I get better at doing that or defending that? You know, I'm always asking questions, man. If you don't ask questions, you're never going to learn nothing, man. It's all about the discipline part of it.
What aspect of the game do you prefer more, striking or grappling?
I like grappling. I like grappling. That's my thing. I love doing groundwork.
Right on. Now, that's where you're more comfortable at, but now you're out there you want to get the striking caught up to that?
Yeah, exactly. I want to get my striking better, a lot better, especially going to get somebody like Casey Miner, who's really good at striking, you know, and you got a lot of guys out here whose game is really top notch with their hands, man. You know, for instance, like Wu Johnson, you know, I got to meet him for finally, man, a really good guy, man, but really good with his hands, you know. I get to actually grapple him this weekend in the charity event for Ellie. And I'm looking real forward to that. Just doing that with him, he's a really good dude. So it's really fun to get with somebody like that and have fun with him, you know, and learn off of him too, you know. So, you know, I always feel that if you're not going to be well-rounded in this game, you shouldn't be in it. That's just my forte in that.
Hey, can you give everybody a quick rundown about the charity event you're grappling at this weekend, Byron?
It's a charity event for Fighting for Ellie. She's a cancer patient, and it's going to be at Team Evolution. I believe it's under Team Evolution. The tickets are $25. It'd be really awesome for people to come out and support the event. You know, none of the fighters are there to hurt each other. We're just there to have fun, you know, grapple, do a few kickboxing matches, MMA matches, and hang out, you know, and support this little girl, man. That's what it's all about. You know, it's not about ego. You know, it's not about, you know, I'm the baddest person around. It's about just having fun, enjoying it, and making sure this little girl's going to be okay, because, you know, that's what we should be doing. It's not, you know, take the getting out of ourselves, not being into ourselves, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, we just had a great opportunity to talk to a lady with a great organization known as Live to Fight, and they work with people like that. It's a very new charity organization, but their goal is to be able to help people like Ellie and organize events like this, like what Team Evolution is doing this weekend.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great event. So, if you can make it out there, please do it. It'll be really fun. You'll see a couple of good fighters, meet a couple of good fighters, take pictures, you know, and, you know, just enjoy it. You know, a good thing for your fight, all the fighters to just unite and have fun and not worry about whether I win or I lose. You know, that's the cool part about it, you know?
Yeah. Now, you were just at an event last weekend. Go ahead, Skippy.
Last weekend? No, I didn't fight last weekend. My last fight was June 1st.
But weren't you at Brian's event?
Yes, I was at Brian's event. Yes, I was.
Yeah, how did that go?
It was a good event, man. I mean, everybody from my team did really well. I mean, all the fighters in the show did really good, but a lot of Brian Johnson's fighters won. I think we lost one fight that night. We lost two fights, I'm sorry. And, you know, otherwise, all the fighters did really good, you know. And that's the blessing of it. We won 85% of our fights, you know, here. You know, like I said, you come to this gym, you do nothing but learn. You know, Brian's not a butthole. He don't make you do nothing that you don't want to do. You either go on to learn or you don't. You know, you either show up for practice or you don't. You know, and I'm one for showing up for practice. You know, so a lot of the other guys here, we're really dedicated here, you know, to each other.
What's the hardest thing you guys do? Like, what's the one thing about practice, Byron, that you wish there was, that you would never have to do again?
Get my ass kicked. or the hardest, one of the hardest ones, I would say, would be having to spar against Harrison Beavin. That's a hard fight sometimes, man. That guy's a savage, man. But, you know, I always learn from him, though. You know, a lot of our guys here are, you know, great kickboxers, man. And the girls here, too, you know. I mean, we you know, I think everything here is hard to do, you know, which makes it good for a person to learn. You know, so if I had to pick and choose, it would be kind of hard because everything here is hard. But you go home feeling good knowing that you did it. You know, knowing that I did that, I can go home and feel good about it. You know, you might be sore, but it's okay. You know, it's one of those deals for me.
No, for sure. Yeah, you want the gym to be that way. You don't want to go in and have it be a cakewalk.
No.
If it's
no.
a cakewalk, you gotta move on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, sometimes they're going home with the sore legs, you know, it pays off, you know. I mean, it pays off going home with them sore legs to learn how to be a better kicker or getting kicked and feeling that pain because, you know, okay, I need to work on that, you know. So that's how I kind of use my mind when it comes to stuff like that. You know, so that's one of the hardest things for me is getting kicked a lot, but I'm learning how to check those kicks and fight better, you know, too. So.
Yeah, I think that would be, like, the most annoying part about it is, like, people kicking you in the leg all the time.
But you get used to it, though, you know. You get real used to it, you know. This week I haven't done no sparring because it's going to have the grappling event. You know what I mean? We're going to try to put on a good show for everybody. So it's going to be really fun, you know.
How long have you been doing jiu-jitsu for again?
I've been doing jiu-jitsu probably about a year, you know, official jiu-jitsu for about a year, but MMA grappling for about you know, going on 3 years now. So everything all the way around, probably about 3 years. And I'm still learning, man. You know, I love it. You know, I mean, I'm actually under Kano as far as, like, his protege. So, you know, so I'm learning a lot from him. You know, we just got a guy in here from Horace Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. He's a black belt. Guy named Jason that I'm finna get to learn some stuff off of too. So, you know, I got it good here, man. You know, I got it good at this gym with the great coaches and, you know, I mean, you can't beat it.
So let me ask
you. No, man, it sounds like you've found a home.
Say again?
I was going to say, I would like to ask you, you're talking, you know, with a lot of excitement in your voice about the ground game and learning it. Has that become a new passion?
Yeah. Yes, it has. It has. It's something I want to keep doing because, you know, I can't do MMA, you know, forever, but I can do jiu-jitsu forever, man. You know, I mean, you can do jiu-jitsu until you're 57 years old. You know, I mean, so it's something I want to get built in. I want to be able to teach like I do here. Brownish and teach a class sometimes here. I teach people here. I do jiu-jitsu because I'm learning. So if I can teach it, I can learn it better too. So it's a very big passion for me to keep on doing it and help other people get better at it, you know, for the future, you know. So that's just, it's a big one for me. I love it.
Well,
what do you think about some of the younger kids you see running around the gym? And you're like, dang, I wish I had their gas tank. Just nonstop,
you know,
balls of energy.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny to say that. I have a friend named Nico Cresno. I'm sure you guys know who he is. You know, I got to work with that kid a lot over at Dennis Hallman's gym. And, you know, and he's a phenomenal grappler, man. And then we got little kids here who's, you know, we're starting to get a lot more kids here in this gym, too. And they're learning, and I'm getting to spend a lot of time with them and teach them at the same time as Kano teaches them. And it's an enjoyment, and it's a pleasure to me because I plan on putting my kids into this also and doing the same thing so they can protect themselves, you know, and set it for discipline also. So, you know, for kids, I think it's a good thing. It's a good discipline for them. It's a good way to keep them out of trouble, you know, because they can know that I don't have to do this. I don't have to get in trouble. I can go grapple. I can go do MMA and be fine, you know.
Well, you know, Byron, I love your passion. I love the excitement, and I think you've made a good choice at the gym you're at. It sounds like, you know, it's doing wonderful, you know, things for you as well as your game. So, you know, I'm super excited to see, you know, how your grappling goes this weekend and your fight coming up. Before we run out of time, because we got to start a little late with you tonight, I want you to have some chance to get some shout-outs to any social media, any sponsors, gyms, coaches, family. It's your time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, my main shout out to go out to Brian Johnson's gym, you know, and, you know, my people at Marcelo Alonso's gym, BJJ Oli, the guys, a lot of the guys that I train with, you know, just anybody and everybody that's helped me come this far. Dennis Hallman, you know, I can't forget Dennis. Dennis started me in this game, you know. Brad Blackburn, you know, so I can't forget those people, you know. It's not like I made it here myself, so my shout out goes to those two that helped me get this far. And hopefully I can meet more people to keep getting far. Carly Funkelin, you know, just the people that I work with, man. You know, especially Brian Johnson's gym. You know, like I said, it's been a dream to get here and get this far. So, you know, I just want to thank everybody, you know, and hopefully we can keep on doing this thing, man, you know.
You want to tell
man, just keep the ball
invite?
Rolling.
Say again?
Keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, oh, keep it rolling. you know, just to my family too, man, you know, I mean, you know, I'm kind of where I'm at, man. You know, thank you guys for interviewing me. It's really cool, man. I never had this opportunity before. So, you know, I just want to send a shout out to everybody, man. And, you know, everybody keep it safe for their gifts, man. And look forward to the fight with me and Casey, man. It's going to be on, man. It's going to be a really good fight. So,
hey,
you know,
how can fans find you on Facebook or Twitter?
Facebook is, oh, yeah, just look under Byron Boone Fernandez Jr.
Okay. Anybody who follows Lopaki or me, you'll see him usually commenting or us commenting on his stuff all the time. So.
Yeah, that's fine, well, man. That's cool. People want to hit me up. It's Byron, B-Y-R-O-N, Boom, B-O-O-M, Fernandez, F-E-R-N-A-N-D-U-S, Jr. I'm right there, man. Right on Facebook.
He'll be the first one. He'll be the first one on the list.
Yeah, man, I'm looking for people to try to sponsor, too, man. That'd be tight. So I get some sponsors for this thing, man. You know?
Hey, you guys heard them. Sponsors, somebody contact them. Let's see about him getting some new shorts or T-shirt or something, folks. Step up, sponsor the cat.
Wait, say that one more time?
Somebody needs to step up and sponsor you.
What now?
I'm just trying to help you get sponsors.
Yeah, that'd be tight, man. I would love it, man. I mean, That'd be awesome. If they need to get a hold of me, man, my number is 320-878-6952. You know, if they can't get a hold of me on that number, you know, there's another number they can get a hold of me at 360-888-4539. You know.
Well, hey, thank you so much, man, for hanging out with us tonight. We got to pay some bills. Obviously, you know, we'll talk to you more in the future, and we'll watch you fight and progress, man. And keep in contact. We'll get you back on.
Sweet, man. I look forward to it. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it, man.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Brian. Are you going to be at Cage Warrior Combat?
I'll be at where now?
Cage Warrior Combat.
I'm not sure. I know I'll be at the one this weekend, but I don't know where I'm going to be at next weekend. I don't even know where that one's at. But, I mean, I just try to show up if you need me to.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, man, if you're out there, man, just give me a shout, bud.
Yeah, I don't know, man, because I got to get some work in for, you know, South folks. So.
Right on, man. Well, thanks again, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, have a good evening.
Well, folks, we're going to play a little commercial break. And for everybody out there, I do have the Will Miner set up, but we're going to do it a little later in the show. Let me find the sponsor ad right here. And I want to give a big shout out to Fame Crimes, man. They're always providing us with the best music. Here we go. Let's do, I love this ad. We're going to do some, there we go.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
All songs to the jury. Please report to the main gate. We are about to unleash the Psycho.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz. Clench Custom Mouth Guards. Clench Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports. Mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClench.com. Again, that's GetClench.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
People don't think much of
Providing us great music, Hank Williams the third right there, Lovesick. We're back and we're gonna jump right into it, man. We're going down to Albuquerque, folks. And Josh, I got you with us, right?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing tonight? Go ahead. Are you there?
Hello? Yeah, you broke up, man. Hey, how you doing?
Oh, it's going good. Welcome to Madhouse Live. For all the fans out there, why don't you tell everybody who you are and what gym you're coming out of?
I'm Josh Lanier, assistant coach up here at Lovato's Total Fitness here in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And you, one of the things I think, you know, doing some research in you that I like is you obviously you have a great lineage with your Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but you also stepped in the ring a few times. How much has that helped you as a coach?
You know, I think it builds you as a better coach. You've been put in certain situations. You've had to work out of things. And unless you've been in there, man, it's really hard to tell somebody how to get out of positions, get into positions. You know, I think you have to be there and just to help these fighters better their careers.
Now, you know, you came from, you know, let's be honest, I think what do you have, like 11, 12 years or, you know, more in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So you kind of started before this big MMA craze is really taken over. How much has your game when it comes to coaching changed from traditional BJJ?
I've had to change a lot, actually. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do in sport Jiu-Jitsu that you can't do in MMA. And, you know, you're not getting punched in the face on the mat. So we've had to change a lot to really incorporate, you know, jiu-jitsu in with MMA so our guys come out safe and they're just not laying on the bottom getting beat waiting for the submission.
Now, you know, that's interesting because, you know, you guys today have gotten to train, and especially, you know, like Russell, who's sitting with you tonight, who all of us are going to get to see fight real soon. You guys are learning to use this ground game, but you're also learning to use it with a cage. When you first started stepping into that cage, did you feel any nerves with your ground game?
Actually, you know, I felt really confident my first amateur fight many, many years ago. Jiu-Jitsu wasn't really popular, so I felt just almost overconfident, stepped in and got punched in the face and realized, wow, this is not jiu-jitsu, so I had to learn real quick.
How much time a week do you spend in the gi?
I'm sorry?
How much time a week do you spend in the gi?
We do about 3 to 4 days per week here at Lovato Total Fitness.
Oh, of gi work? That's crazy. That's awesome. I like it.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, with the gi, you have to have your game a little tighter, work, you know, a little smarter to get out of submissions. You're not just going to rely on brute strength and, you know, sweat to get out of submissions. You know, that's why, like with Russell, you know, he's very technical, and if you've seen him fight, he's hard to submit. He does a lot with the gi with us here.
You guys are traditionally in a wrestling-based community. How much of an influx of wrestlers have you seen in your camp wanting to learn the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
I would say a lot. You know, once you figure out how to tie the two together, you know, get an athlete that is horrible to fight on the ground, you know. You don't want to have a guy that can control the times when you go down, you know, every time he wants you down, and when he gets up there, he's got the potential to submit you. It's not just a lay and pray type of game that these wrestlers are having here at Lovato's Total Fitness. It's, you know, they take you down, but they're aggressive with their submissions.
Since you've got Russell sitting next to you, I believe you said you're a speaker. Hey, Russell, for all the fans, introduce yourself, tell them who you are, where you're out of, and we got some questions for you as well.
And my name is Russell Wilson. I also fight out of Lovato Total Fitness here in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Now, you're sitting down with your coach. Does it make you feel a little bit more comfortable having a Brazilian jiu-jitsu coach that's actually stepped into a cage?
Yeah, because a lot of the other jiu-jitsu coaches, like, they can tell you, they could show you the moves, and but he actually knows from experience that he says, like, there's a lot of times in practice he'll be like, yeah, do this, but don't do this because you'll get hit, or don't do this because I know you'll get hit. So he has the experience. It's good to know that he knows what works in fights and what actually don't, and, like, what to actually go for that are good submissions for MMA that aren't, that you don't usually do in jiu-jitsu.
So for the fans out there, especially the ones outside your region, a lot of the fans around the country and world listening tonight, give us a little detail about your background, you know, athletic-wise, and what got you into mixed martial arts.
Well, I wrestled for Coach Lovato in high school, and I was a 2008 Mexico High School state champ, and his son, Lenny Lovato Jr., and his nephew, Mike Lovato, they would coach me in wrestling, and after I graduated, they were already in MMA, so they would ask me to go in and wrestle with them and roll around with them just because they wanted, like, good wrestlers to roll with, and I figured I'm practicing and doing it all with them, I might as well just fight as well.
Now, you've gotten to progress, you know, in that state. You're starting to get on the bigger shows. What is the biggest difference from your camp today getting ready for this fight coming up versus your first Andy camp? What do you see as the biggest difference?
The biggest difference now is I have a lot more tools that I can use. Like, before it was always like, oh, well, if you get into trouble, wrestle. Like, if something's happening, you always have wrestling, you can take them down. Like, I still have that I could use, but now it's like, well, if this happens, I can use striking, I can use jiu-jitsu. I have so much more tools now that I can use. I don't have to just rely on wrestling. Like, I'm becoming an all-around fighter. Like, I feel comfortable in every aspect of MMA now, and that helps a lot because it's just that position I can fight out of any spot.
Now, how much do you know about your opponent, or have you left that all up to the coaches?
Oh, well, the coach, Josh, he does a lot of research. He knows a lot. He made the game plan. Like, I've seen videos on him. I know he's a high-caliber wrestler, Olympic alternate, world team member, but he has holes in his game, and Coach Josh has seen it, and he's shown me them. We've gone over videos. Like, he's shown me exactly where his holes are, and he's pretty much him and Coach Lenny have sat me down, and they've come up with a game plan that will help me expose those holes and help me win the fight.
So, Josh, let me ask you, how much time, we're just going to say average, do you take reviewing fight tapes of the opponents?
Man, I wish I had a set time frame. I mean, this is all I do, you know. When these guys get a fight, I spend, you know, all my time coaching them and watching videos and, you know, setting game plans up. And it could be, you know, an hour a day, or it could be 2 hours a day. It depends, you know, what I want to focus on and what I want to build the strategy on.
Now, obviously, you're working with, I'm sorry, Lepaki, I'm going to cut you off again. You're working with multiple fighters, and you've got to sit down and look at different aspects of the game for each fighter. Does it ever become stressful for you to try to build game plan for so many fighters?
You know, it's a love. So, I mean, it's not really stressful. It's just, the only stress that comes is making sure I get the right game plan for the right fighter. You know, when they step out there, I'm more nervous for them than I've ever been for any of my fights. And I feel like, you know, a loss is my loss, not them. You know, I should have had a better game plan or set better strategies. So, I mean, all that stress, I carry the burden,
you know, and try to take it off these guys and let them know if a loss happens, it's my fault. I should have, you know, provided you better tools.
How much fun do you have in the corner? Like when you're cornering your guys and it's, you know, it's fight night, finally you guys are getting to, you know, finally reap the rewards of a long 6, 8, 10, 12-week camp. How much fun is the guy that's, like, kind of calling the shots and playing the video game? Do you have fun when you're doing that?
Yeah, that's funny because that's what I tell all the guys, you know, and this is the ones that tell Russell is, you know, just let me play my video game. If these guys will just let me go out there and play the remote control and trust that I see things that they can't see in the middle of a fight, you know, in the heat of the moment that I can walk them through pretty much anything that happens. And I love it. I enjoy it. You know, it's, like I said, it's a passion, it's a love, so I'd have a great time with it. You know, when it's over, you know, these guys go and celebrate, and I go home and watch the video and see what we could have done better.
You know, you've kind of had the advantage of like, seeing people that were, you know, already, like, in their 20s start, and, you know, it's kind of gradually gotten down to 18, and now you're seeing, you know, youth come in and participate in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. How excited are you for the future of that sport?
Man, I tell you, this sport is growing every day. We have kids in our jiu-jitsu program 4, 5, 6 years old, and, you know, they're coming in more excited, and it's ridiculous. This sport is really going to be something, you know, and I hope eventually it becomes part of the Olympic Games. You know, I've heard them talk about it, and that's a goal for me. I would hope it would, so everybody can kind of see the sport and see what it's about and fall in love with it like I did.
Now, I got to ask, Russell's obviously, you know, he's somebody, you know, you're bringing along, getting obviously to the upper levels of this game. When you sit back and you talk about the kids, when you see these 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids, do you see any of those kids, you don't have to name them or anything, but do you see one that you say, this kid's got the raw talent, drive, and heart, as long as he doesn't burn out, he's got a chance to be something great?
Man, I see that every day. You know, every day there's a kid coming in, and Lovato Total Fitness, we opened up on the west side of town where there's not a lot of big gyms, there's not a lot of big names, and a lot of kids didn't have the outlet they needed for a positive, you know, outlook in life, and we have brought in these kids, you know, made it affordable where they can come in and train and get off the streets and quit, you know, running around and getting in trouble. And I see so much talent every day, and it's all, you know, puts me in awe when I see these guys, these young kids training. I just see the next generation coming, and they're just going to be better and better.
Well, yeah, and it's great because I know from talking to the family members from Lovato's that they, you know, they definitely give back to the community, and it is great to see that, to see you guys reaching out there. I love the fact, you know, that Russell came to Lovato's instead of going to Winkle John Jackson's gym, you know. I know a lot of people know Winkle John Jackson's is the greatest gym ever, but that's not true. You guys have consistently produced great fighters out of your gym. And I'm sorry, but I had to give a jab to one of your locals out of there because I'm a big fan of your gym, and he's a big fan of the Winkle John gym, and I'm not, so... I want you to know that I 100% believe that you are producing top athletes out of your gym, and I am proud to see you guys continue to do that.
Thank you so much. We feel the same way. You know, we're producing a lot of great athletes. You know, we don't carry the big name, and, you know, we really don't care to. We don't want to be known as the next big Jacksonville Winkle John. You know, as far as we're concerned, you know, they did a great job with it. They can have it. You know, we're looking to build fighters from the ground up. You know, we're not trying to bring in talent. You know, we don't want a bunch of big names. You know, I've got guys here 17, 18 years old, whatever, we're getting ready to turn loose that are just going to be the next big thing coming out in MMA. And like Russell, you know, wait till you see Russell with this fight coming up. He's going to hurt people's feelings, I promise.
I love it.
How,
hey, Russell.
Yeah, okay. Traditionally, boxing was a big sport in New Mexico. How is the grappling scene done in cracking that mystique?
You know, actually,
it's bad to say with the passing of Coach Johnny Tapia, you know, the boxing scene has slowed down tremendously. He kind of carried the torch for a long time. So grappling, you know, we have tournaments here, state-based tournaments, you know, with New Mexico grapplers about 3-4 times a year. And every time, you know, they have a tournament, it's a bigger and bigger crowd. So, you know, it's building slowly but surely.
That's good. That's good. I mean, I wish that we could find a way where they can all just coexist and you could see, you know, like larger events where there's grappling and boxing and kickboxing all going on, you know, at different areas. I think that would be like something that would really help expose people to all the different aspects of MMA.
Oh, that would be amazing just to go to a one day to watch all that and show everybody, you know, all the different combat sports.
Yeah, you know, like you just do like a big state fair kind of thing, and you know, but you just have like different areas and you can just check out different things going on, whatever you want to watch.
Oh, yeah, I think one day eventually, you know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, cutting you off. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, you know, eventually I think that's what's going to happen. You know, we've seen the big grappling tournament here, Southwest Grapple Fest. You know, they started putting CrossFit in with their grappling tournaments. They started putting on mid exhibitions, you know, with some of the Jackson fighters last time. So I think it's slowly building today.
Hey, we have a team member who's been covering Albuquerque for a little over a year and a half, and he's just recently moved to Texas to start covering that area. But Christoph Geek is live with us. He works for Team Madhouse. He's got some questions for you guys as well.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
it's Buckham.
Good deal, man. How you doing, Josh?
Good. How's everything?
I'm doing all right, man. Doing all right. I was listening earlier. I think I need to correct on your BJJ experience. You know, we were talking earlier. You got 21 years experience. You've been wrestling since you were a kid, right?
Yeah, I started jiu-jitsu when I was 13, and unfortunately, I'm getting older, so I'm 34 now. So.
Oh, you're young.
Well, that's what I was trying to
tell. You know, the numbers are young, but the miles are high, so.
Hey, as far as, you know, they were just talking about the big names and whatnot that's in the gym. I mean, you guys actually got some, you know, some names up in that gym that come in and visit and come and train and participate in some of your classes, don't you, Josh?
Oh, yeah. You know, Coach Lenny has been the wrestling coach for, like, Demacio Page and Diego Sanchez and many other high-level UFC fighters for years. But most people just, you know, Coach Lenny stays out of the spotlight. And he's always been there helping these guys out with their wrestling and stuff.
Right, right. We were talking, you know, when we talked earlier tonight, I was asking you about how Russell was going to train with Sean Bunch on his ground game. You know, we kind of touched on that a little bit earlier of, you know, how extensive Sean's ground game is. And you want to just recap on that and what we talked about and what you thought about that and what your plan was?
You know, without giving too much away, obviously, you know, Sean is a great wrestler. His hold in his game is he's just too comfortable, you know, laying there like he did his last fight. And, you know, Russell is a great wrestler also, but he's also very dangerous off his back. And, you know, we've given him a lot of tools to use, and he's dangerous, you know, as far as jiu-jitsu, submission, grappling. From any position in the cage, there's going to be no point where Sean can rest and just lay on top of him. He's not going to have that security blanket.
Right. Exactly. Cool. How's Russell? How are you doing, man? How are you feeling about it? You've got more cage time experience than Sean does. How do you feel about that? Is that making you feel better coming into the cage, knowing that you've got, you know, you can kind of rub off those jitters, you know, and you've been in there? I mean, you fought these guys. How do you feel about that?
I'm really excited about the fight. Like, I know I feel comfortable just because I have more MMA experience. Like, I know he has higher wrestling experience, more wrestling, but I remember what it was like coming in wrestling, and
mostly using my wrestling just to defend jiu-jitsu and just using my wrestling to take people down and hold them down. Like, but now I'm at the point where I'm using wrestling just as a tool, another tool just to finish fights. Like, I'm going mission, going striking, everything. Like, I'm more of a full package, and I think I feel more comfortable in just different aspects. That's my plan. I just got to put him in positions he's not comfortable in, and that he hasn't experienced yet, just because he hasn't had as many fights as I had or as much MMA experience as me.
All right.
Hey, hold on a second, Chris. I'm going to ask him a question. Hey, Russell, I got to ask you, today's MMA and the growth, we're seeing a lot of organizations outside the United States producing great fighters, and they're getting great paychecks. They're becoming fan favorites. Is that a route you're willing to take, or do you see the UFC as the ultimate goal?
I'm honestly, wherever it takes me, I'm good. I just want to fight. I'm just like fighting. I love it. It's fun. Like, I enjoy it. And I'll go to Japan. I'll fight anywhere. It's not. I don't have like a set plan that I want to go. I'm just gonna go with the flow. Wherever this career takes me, I'm gonna go as far as it'll let me take me, and just do whatever. I'm not gonna limit myself to anything. Whatever opportunities arise, like, I'll take those. Like, I'm excited.
Dude, just ride it till the wheels fall off, man. Just ride it till the wheels fall off.
That's
probably the best advice I think there ever was, man.
Hey, so Russell, I know you're heavier than, you know, bantamweight. I know you walk around heavier than 135, and I kind of spoke with Josh about it earlier too. You know, and you, with your wrestling experience and having to cut weight, how are you feeling about that personally? I know Josh was telling me that you're all good, but how are you feeling about it? You know,
I feel fine about it. I've been cutting weight all my life from wrestling. Like, I'm used to it. I know what my body, how it can handle, how it takes cuts, and it recovers pretty good. I've actually been trying to move down in bantamweight from my last two fights for about a year now, but it's just, they always fight, fall through, and they're like, well, you want to just take another one at featherweight, take another one at featherweight. So I'm like, yeah, but I've been actually trying to go down for a while, so I'm actually excited to actually get to actually fight at 135.
That's a great thing, Christoph. I want to touch on that. Both of you, please feel free to chime in, but Russell especially, as somebody who's spent your predominant life cutting weight, what do you feel about today's amateurs who are cutting so much weight to make fights?
I think it's really up to, there's some guys that are doing it wrong. Like, if you experience, like, there's a lot of wrestlers coming in, like, they've cut weight from wrestling, like, they know how it is, and they're doing it. But there's a lot of guys that are coming in just watching TV, like, seeing that guys, like, in the UFC or Bellator, that they hear that they cut 30 pounds for this, like, this and that, and they're like, oh, well, I can do that, too. And there's a lot of guys that are doing it unhealthy, unsafe, just almost killing themselves just to make weight because they see it and they think, oh, well, they're doing it, so I can do it. And there's a right way and a wrong way to do it, and it's just all about experience. I feel that there's a lot of amateurs that should stay at heavier weights until they feel comfortable and know how their body handles weight cuts and how it handles being dehydrated.
Coach, you next. With the amateur class, how do you guys determine as coaches what's an acceptable weight cut?
It's kind of like Russell said. You know, if the guys had a extensive background in wrestling and cutting weight, you know, he knows where he can go. But as far as the amateurs go, we just take it, you know, we'll say a 10-pound limit, you know, for their first fight. You know, we do some mock weight cuts, see how they perform, you know, after rehydration and in practice. So, I mean, we do a lot of trial runs before we actually send them out.
I love it.
Right.
I think it's a great answer. Yeah, it's great. You know, with obviously your fighters progressing, Josh, and you know, and obviously Christoph being able to, over the last year, really expose a lot of the fans outside your region, I want to ask, I know Russell is, you know, he's a future star. He's right there on that stage. Who can we see as fans in 3 years out of your amateur division doing as well and progressing like Russell?
It's hard to throw out a lot of names. We have one kid named Steven Cervantes. he actually just had his first fight with Triple A MMA, and Triple A works closely with Bellator, and after the fight, you know, the Bellator matchmakers and stuff were just really impressed with his very first fight. He was calm. He would actually stop fighting, hold the guy down in certain positions, look at me and say, okay, coach, and then work out of those positions. And you don't see that from amateur fighters. You don't see somebody that can listen and just trust, you know, trust in their coach. And he's one of those guys you'll see within the next year or two, you'll hear the name coming up in those ranks.
Now, for you, Russell, with this group of talented kids coming up behind you, does that help you, give you a spark to know that these kids are able to start stepping up and really working with you and, you know, not, prohibiting your growth?
Yeah, it makes me really excited. Steven, he's a great training partner already. When he learns a little more, he's going to help me out a lot. But, yeah, these young guys are coming out, and they're just hungry. Like, they see what they want, and they're working hard. They're putting in work ethic, and they're challenging me, pushing me in conditioning, like sprints or everything. I got to keep up. If they beat me in anything, they're not going to let me to the end of it. So I got to make sure I'm at the top of my game and still keep, like, kind of big brother them for a little while. And, you know, you don't want to lose to your little brother or anything. So I got to keep pushing myself because they're pushing themselves hard.
Now, you know, Russell, before we run out of time, I want you to have a chance. Make sure all the fans can find you on social media. Give a shout-out to the sponsors, any family, friends, whatever you want. Take this time. It's yours.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank everyone here at Lovato's. Coach Josh has helped me improve my game a lot. Thank you, Coach Lenny, Eric Wong. Just all my training partners, Robert Wilson, Matt Gutelaez helped me a lot. And Biz Media Networking, I'd like to thank them. And just, they can find me, my fan page is Russell Wilson MMA on Facebook, and just hopefully they're going to be excited. I'm excited. I'm going to put on the show my next fight and ready for them to enjoy it.
Hey, I had one more question before we let them go. If we got time.
Yep, go for it, brother.
All right. Hey, with you guys having the ring and the cage, are you working out in both, and what do you prefer? You know, do you train in both?
Yeah, I train in both. I like to just do both because I've fought in rings before in MMA, so it's just good to have both. You can work off the cage in MMA. Like, it's just good to know to work. Feel comfortable in both, and we have mats rolling in there for jiu-jitsu. Like, if I do jiu-jitsu, then we have open mats. So it's good to just to work in all three of them just to stay comfortable. Like, you don't want to pick one and stick to that. It's good to be versatile and know positioning in all aspects.
That's right, Russell, because, you know, if it's like the craze lately with M1 Global signing up so many U.S. fighters, they fight in a ring. MSC fights in a ring. I mean, the list goes on and on. Major organizations around the world do not use cages, so I like that mentality for you to feel comfortable in both aspects. It's very smart for your game.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to ask that question there. That's awesome. And that's an awesome benefit that I think Lovato's gym puts out to their fighters too, is they've got that full size ring, they've got that cage, that full size cage that these guys can go and train. I think, you know, that's awesome. That's a huge benefit to these guys. And I was just curious if Russell's been getting in both.
And Coach Josh, do you want to give any shout-outs, let anybody know the gym information, any programs, anything like that, anywhere they can find you on social media? Please take a run at it.
Yeah, for sure. Check us out at lovatototalfitness.com. You can see us on Facebook at lovatototalfitness.com. You can actually see our facility. We have over 8,000 square feet. We have a Muay Thai bag area. We got the full-size cage, full-size ring, full-size mat area, sauna. As far as this is like your one-stop shopping center for MMA right here in Albuquerque, and a lot of people don't know about it. So I would like to, you know, invite anybody from anywhere. You know, we got an open door policy. It doesn't matter. You guys come in, train, and become part of the family.
You hear that, folks? Next time you're driving from Florida to Vegas for the Naga tournament, you can stop and stay overnight in Albuquerque, hit the gym up, grapple with some new guys.
Well, and you got some big promotions coming out to Albuquerque, too. We want to get out to some of those fighters, too, that are coming out from, you know, XFC. It's coming out in September. so that's a good thing to get out to
there.
Those, you know, or somewhere to blow out their lungs. I know, you know, Anthony Burchak was really looking forward to getting out there, and it just didn't work out because, you know, Matt Leva trained at the gym and was actually cutting weight to fight Anthony, but
that didn't go so well, did it?
No, I don't think it did.
Yeah, it did.
What happened?
Well, hey, Russell, Josh, I want to tell both of you thank you. You guys tell Lenny and everybody there, Madhouse, honored to always work with them. You know, we're ready for you guys' next fight night. Man, we're ready to get in there and help you guys support that event as well.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, Russell, you have a good night, too. Good luck. Get out there and whoop some ass, brother.
Hey, good night, guys.
Thank you. I will.
Good luck, Russell. Night.
And I would like somebody to give me the list of the best veterinarian in the Pacific Northwest because it looks like Lapaki's puppies are sick because he keeps flexing them in the camera to make sure I can see them. So they must be sick. I must be trying to look for something wrong with them.
Hey, Skip, the whole blow out the lung thing, was that... was that not right?
The whole what?
Blowing out your lungs.
Oh, no, it's not. But I would like to touch on something that Lapaki brought up earlier, and I think it's very important that people know the history of Madhouse's founder, Carl the Madman Mortensen. Believe it or not,
right,
this is a true story about his great uncle. Listen up, folks.
I'd like you to meet fucking Bill Miner, famous train robber. He was the first bandit to say, "Hands up, cocksuckers." In 1906, though, things got all fucked. Now, this east of Kamloops, the Imperial Limited, headed towards Vancouver. "Hands up, you cocksucker," says Miner and his friends to the engineer. "Take the engine and that car up the track." Took the wrong fucking car. This was the baggage car, not the fucking express car. All they could find was some goddamn liver pills. Soon after, a police posse took after him. "Who the fuck are you?" the sergeant asks. "Why don't you fucking blow me?" says Bill Miner. But one of his friends panicked. "We're fucked, boys," he says. "It's all up." Police found a gun and a bottle of goddamn liver pills. "Hands up, you cocksucker," says the sergeant. "Hands up."
Hands up. That's really Carl's uncle, man. I swear to God, it's Carl's uncle.
That was freaking funny.
Dude, but the sad thing is it's a true story about his uncle. That's what's crazy.
did we lose the potty? Did the potty get pissed off and finally cut off? They fucked us.
No, actually,
what?
All night long, believe it or not, we've not had anybody named Lapaki on the show. We've had my co-host and partner in crime, Lapaki, but I don't know who Lapaki is.
No, what was that?
It's Lapaki. It's not an American word.
I just gotta say this right now. I can't keep this inside anymore. Dude, there's the most amazing bikini shoot of Jessica Penne out right now on, I don't even know where the fuck it's at.
Oh my God.
You can find it at SB Nation MMA Mania. I don't even fucking damn. Ronda who? Shit.
Dude,
sorry.
What is this?
Ponza, I didn't know I was pronouncing it wrong, man.
CombatLifestyle.com.
You're okay, buddy.
He's going to Cowboy Extreme Cage Fighting at the dance hall in San Antonio.
Dude, watch out for Travis Luter, bro. Watch out for Travis Luter.
Watch out for Travis Luter.
All right, dude. I'm looking forward to it, dude. I looked up the card.
I bet you are.
Oh, well, I've heard the stories from Trey, dude, but I looked up the card, man, and it looks like it's going to be a badass card. You know, I have to do a little bit more background on the fighters and everything, dude, but it looks like it's going to be sick, dude.
Well, fight week, we will have Jennifer Ray back on the show. She's the promoter from Premier Combat Group out of San Antonio. She's been a pro and an amateur promoter for a couple years now, and she knows what she's doing. She puts on some great cards, and she knows her fighters, so you'll definitely have to tune in for that show. I don't know if he's going to join Trey down at CDM or not in Brazos, but I know Trey's covering CDM this month. And then Legacy is going to be at the Cowboy Dance Hall in San Antonio in a couple of weeks, which I'm getting Christoph passes for. So Christoph's going to be a busy man.
We got a, what is Legacy on the 17th?
Legacy is coming back to San Antonio to the same event center you're going to. And all I'm right. getting you press passes for that event as well, because you said you wanted to go to Legacy last time.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I was sitting here twiddling my thumbs in my apartment all by myself, watching Legacy on TV, and could have been there.
I tell you, Trey went to Legacy. Skippy
drops the ball, bro.
I do.
That's all right.
Trey went to Legacy last time, and he left his laptop, and all of a sudden James McSweeney comes running after him. He's like, hey, you, come here. And Trey was like, oh, shit, what did I do wrong? He thought he was about to get beat up. He's like, get over here. And Trey comes over to him, and he's like, you forgot your laptop, man. Trey thought he was going to get beat up.
Oh, well, you know, Trey, you know, in the physical sense, he's, you know, not much, you know, he's a little bit smaller than me, dude, but we're not big dudes, you know. We're not bred that big, dude, so.
You've never seen Trey fight, man. Trey fights like Demetrius Johnson. You know, I mean, he is just a little ball of energy, dude. I knocked Trey out one time, and he blacked out driving home, almost wrecked and died. It was hilarious. He's like, he wanted to box me. So we went out back, and I mean, we were messed up, and I started laying into Trey. Finally, he's like, I got to stop, man. I'm starting to black out. And he's like, I'm going to drive home real quick. And he blacked out driving home.
That's what I love about that dude, man. He is a freaking, he don't care.
He don't. Hey, you know how I first met Trey? This is a true story, folks. I met Trey. He had one pair of pants on and a shoe, and that's it. Nothing else. He was in a ditch with a fifth of vodka passed out. That's how I met this dude. And 22 years later, he's still one of my best friends.
Oh, yeah, dude. That dude is a gangster.
Yeah, dude, have you met his dad?
Yeah.
That's the king of all gangsters. This dude had a heart attack, and instead of going to the hospital, he jogged it out. He's like, you could jog out a heart attack, and he took off jogging, and he jogged out a heart attack. Who does that shit? That's insane.
I think it was something else. It wasn't no heart attack, but.
Oh, it was.
You wouldn't know about that stuff.
The next day,
he
had to go and get surgery because the doctor said that was the stupidest choice he could have ever made. But he's like, you can't jog out a heart attack. He's like, well, I did. And then he had open heart surgery the next day. But, I mean, at least the man jogged it out. That's pretty baller. I mean, I don't even massage out a cramp, dude. I'd call somebody.
he's a fun kid, man. I love Trey, dude. Him, ever since him and I met... You know, God, man, I think it was back in 2005, 2006, you know, we were both pipe fitters. You know, him and I just drew to each other right away, man. He's a cool dude. I like Trey. He's cool.
I like get Trey's gun collection. Well, Trey, if you're listening, sorry. Oops. He lost it all.
Yeah.
Why don't you just give his address out while you're at it, Dick?
Hey, 1001 Southwest Medina, College Station, Texas. 84040, right? I think. It's right across from the high school, guys. It's the one with the beat up Chevy. His parents, man. His parents are not hurting. They always give him their leftover car when they buy a new one. So it's not a broke down Chevy. It's probably a broke down Trans Am.
Let's expose Trey's life right now. This is some kind of episode of, like, Maury Povich all of a sudden.
Let me bring you Trey's mama.
Trey, you are not the father, Trey. You are not the father. Skippy, are not the father. Christoph, are the father.
Dude, you do not want to get Tammy pregnant, dude. No, dude, he did it. It's a bad choice. I didn't. I was smart.
Oh, no.
Little jab that Trey wants you to call me as soon as this show's over and be like, you're an asshole, Skip.
We got the shovel out, dude. You're digging it.
Okay, folks, let's talk about the MMA coming up this week when we got live Pandemonium 9 and 9.5 both streaming, folks.
Shut up.
We got EFC Africa streaming tomorrow morning. We've also got KO Productions out of Australia streaming. Folks, that's some good MMA.
What about Cage Titans, bro?
Oh, dude, there's a ton of events, man.
I know there's a ton of events. What event are you looking forward to most? I'm kind of torn between EFC Africa, Roctagon 28, RFC 28 that's going down. Remember La Pulga, John Herrera's fight. He's got a title fight, bantamweight title fight this weekend in Tampa Bay at RFC 28. Let's get you guys all the information so you can check that event out. It's at the A La Carte Event Pavilion, Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Nice.
Battle
Dude,
of the Bay. Real fight.
Hey,
I can hear Ponto way better than I can hear Skippy. Dude, Skippy, are you on a speakerphone or what?
No, I'm on Muffins.
He's on Muffins, buddy.
Muffins. All right. Hey,
the people know that they have to turn it up, man. The people understand. They know what's going on.
And if you want to turn it up tonight, Ring of Combat. Free rebroadcast on GFL TV, a great sponsor. Love some GFL.
Nice, dude. We'll be, make sure you tune in Friday night. Maybe you guys get some special goodies on the Rogue Show.
Yeah. Well, shit, boys. We're going to wrap this show up early tonight then.
Why?
I got things I need
Why
to take care of.
Why are you doing this to me lately? You know, I'm really getting tired of being of the treatment.
Okay. That's what's wrong. It's you know, do you see? That's a problem, brother.
Well, hold on. Let me shotgun a beer real quick, and let's keep this puppy dog rolling.
See, I think that shotgunning a beer is the last thing you need to be doing.
He's like, I got no wife, no kids, no dog. I'm shotgunning beers all night long.
I'm just teasing you, but hold on a second. I'm shotgunning a motherfucker.
You know his wife's going to call him in 5 minutes and be like, I heard you on the show. What are you doing drinking?
No, dude, she hates this shit, dude. I don't understand her, dude. I took her to that fight, you know? She's like, all right, that was enough for me. You can
Why,
take
man?
Your
you
friend.
Just, you got to take her to the right fights, bro. And just you gotta just keep taking her, man. Just you know, every time you take her to a fight, go to the ballet. Just keep the balance.
Here's what you do: you take her down to San Antonio to the Riverwalk. You have dinner. And
walk
you
in
say,
the coach
oh,
store.
And then you tell her, "Well, you're here. Let's go to Cowboy Extreme Fighting because I happen to have two tickets." Oh, I'm sorry, the press passes. I gotta work, honey.
Yeah, no.
How do you think I got my wife to name my kid Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz? My kids are named Chuck and Tito. Okay? I got her. I took her out to dinner. She was getting ready to go into labor. She was like, this is the most beautiful night of my life. You can name the kids whatever you want. So I was like, Chuck Liddell. So it's Chuck Liddell Cohen. I know it sounds a little goofy, but I did it a second time, and now I've got Tito Ortiz Cohen.
You're full of shit.
You've never met my Chuck and Tito? I make them fight in the front yard. It's like right now, Chuck and Tito 42
Dude,
is coming up Saturday.
Tito fucking runs around the house naked all the time.
Did you know? You know, see? He's been...
I do know.
We're getting ready.
Like, I'm like
we're getting
sitting
ready
in the studio. I'm like sitting in the studio. Like, we're getting ready to go live on Ustream. And then, like, Tito walks naked, dude. He's like 3 years old. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh,
he's
wow.
like, oh, that's normal. He cruises around naked. And so then I look at Chuck, and I'm like, Chuck, what the fuck, dude? He's like, I'm like,
Chuck's a big fan
dress,
of La Pulga. Chuck really likes La Pulga a lot.
We talk about his science projects and shit like that.
Yep.
You guys,
I teach him. I taught him to use the stink eye.
You guys live by each other.
We live. He lives a couple hundred miles away, but we threw a barbecue and we had what, like 10 team members come.
Yeah.
Sweet. And we all covered an event. We asked for like 16 press passes. And we got them all. Oh, that was
really?
A great event. I mean, we, dude, we, nobody has ever covered an event like Madhouse did that night. We had Lopaki up in the frickin' press box. We had Caitlin Ringdoor. We had KD on the other side. We had Ronan doing interviews. We had Seamonster doing
interviews. Me recording interviews.
We had Devin doing live play-by-play. His old lady doing photo. I mean, we had everything covered. If you were in the back and farted, we knew about it.
Yeah. Budo 8 was a mad
night.
Budo 8. That was a nasty night of fighting.
Was that
dude.
Local motion? That was local motion, right?
It was local motion.
So that was that's that group picture I seen of all you guys, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's most of us.
All right.
That was the only ones we felt like deserved to be in the picture.
You notice none of the women
are in.
If
you only got
assholes.
In the picture if you ate 3 muffins before you went to the event and had another one in your pocket. And then we're getting snickerdoodles from Derek.
Yeah, we did live post and pre-fight shows from the studio streamed on video.
Oh, my God. I don't even remember doing the post-fight show.
Dude, like, fighters were showing up, like, with stitched up faces, all trashed. It was, dude, it was such a blast. We had ring girls here. It was insane.
We were calling people out. We were talking shit.
Dude, yeah. You're going to have to come up for one of these events, you know, come up for when we do a big event, man. And, you know, we'll put you up in the RV or something. You know, we'll put you up in
the
place.
Whoa.
He's like, whoa, you're giving up my house.
Whoa. Yeah, dude, I guess
Shay LaPaque.
Yeah, that's got front. That's like front row for the horseshoe tossing. So I ain't losing the fucking RV, bro.
Dude, no doubt. You're
that's
like
a short stumble. That's
pit.
A short stumble from horseshoe pit to RV front door is not that bad at all.
No,
oh, dude, I'm
no,
killer.
That's
I'm killer at horseshoes.
Good. Well, the Madhouse has pits now at the studio, dude, with our logo on the wall and everything. Sick.
Oh, dude, I'm killer at horseshoes. I got that mad
dude.
Flop, dude. Just poof, 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 poof. You just hear the clang.
Well, you can talk all you want, but let me lift this beautiful Madhouse Championship title from Pro-Am belt above my head so everybody can feel the thunder.
Yeah, I hope you know you're putting that on the line at Cage Quest 3.
Yeah.
If
you
don't show up to Cage Quest
thunder.
3, you surrender the title.
Dude, look, I said straight up.
Hey, look, bro. No, look, this is no bullshit. I talked to Eddie Blackburn about this. If you stand up and don't make it to Cage Quest 3, you forfeit the title and there becomes an interim MMA Madhouse title just to piss you off.
Yeah, exactly, because I think interim champions are bullshit. And Eddie, if you're the one who put this idea into Lopaki's head, F you and the Yankees.
Tread lightly, my friend. You
tread
don't
want
to forfeit the title.
You want me to tread like
through.
A-Rod with steroids in my arm and come at you all aggressive?
Hey, I'm just telling you, dude, you don't want to really forfeit the title for failure to appear. That'd be a horrible way to lose your title belt.
The last time I had to go to Cage Quest, I'm going to be honest, folks, and I feel very bad about this, but on my way, there was an old lady. She was in my way. I pushed her over just to get to the door quicker. Okay? I will be there, boy. I will push old ladies out of my way to get there.
You heard it here tonight, folks. He says he'll be there. If not, he's willing to forfeit his MMA Madhouse title. There's not
you know what, though?
Going. It'll be
I
even.
Should bring it. I should bring it, dude. We should just do some photos like we're fighters in the cage. Like, have the ring girls, and like, I can hold my hands up and have the belt above my head, and people will think I've won it.
Dude, we should talk to Pro-Am Belts about having them make us a belt, and then we can just go to a random event and sponsor the title fight, and somebody can win the Madhouse belt.
Yeah, that's a good
like
idea.
Maybe we set up a Madhouse tournament. Like, we coordinate with a promoter. Ooh, yeah. Okay, we got to stop talking.
That's
yeah,
a good
we'll
idea.
We'll talk later.
Stop air.
No. Yep. We'll have to talk later.
I'm sorry, Jeff. What were you saying? I missed you. King Mo is trying to get Chris Gregory a sponsor. Oh, was I not supposed to say that out loud? Shit. See, I'm still learning how to read quietly. Sorry, Chris.
A sponsor for what?
Well, some of that.
He said he had a bad case of
hemorrhoids.
Why does
Chris Gregory just said he? Chris Gregory just posted on Facebook. Just got off the King Mo. He is more than ready for his fight. Like, what the fuck?
That's not what he did to me. He said King Mo just called me and told me
dude,
that he's going to help me get a
Facebook
sponsor.
Post, dude. He says right here in his Facebook post, just got off the King Mo. He is more than ready for his fight.
Oh. Well, folks, I'm going to play a quick ad of sponsors one last time before this show wraps up. So give me 30 seconds and listen to this beautiful list of sponsors and go out there and support them. Find them, Google them, Twitter them, Facebook them, all of that.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors. Draco Impact Armor, Clench Custom Mouth Guards, Cast Iron Supplements, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Never Tap, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and ACS Live TV.
And don't forget Jax Media, jaxmedia.ca, and Go Fight Live TV for great local MMA coverage. Okay, we got about 2 minutes left, guys, so that's out of the way. Does anybody want to hear the story of Will Miner again?
Oh, dear. Your dog's mother.
That's probably what I'm going to play to finish the show tonight.
Dude, so, hey, everybody, Cage Warrior Combat, hold on, dude, hold on. We got business to handle here real quick. We need to be serious for a second. This isn't time for fucking horseshoes and shenanigans.
You got it. Be serious.
There you go. I like serious. I like Skippy's serious face. That was like some Scuba Steve shit right there.
Scuba Steve.
Scuba Steve! Cage Warrior Combat, August 3rd. Huh? Why do you keep interrupting me?
What's up with August 3rd, brother?
No, dude. Cage Warrior Combat, August 3rd, the Point Casino, Kingston, Washington. Be there. Rob Can is fighting. Shit, I just totally forgot. Thanks, Jeff.
You screwed it all up, dude. Seriously?
No, dude, it doesn't matter, dude. The people are used to it. That's what they like about us, man. Like, I own it, man. I know I forgot who he's fighting. Rob Can's got a title fight, 145, man. It's going to be a fucking barn burner. I'm really looking forward to this card. You can catch it on GFL. You can go to the damn casino in Kingston. Shit starts at 6 o'clock because they want to make sure you catch that fucking ferry leaving at 11 and don't have to drive all the way down to that one that goes into Seattle. You can just do it all right there in the one spot in Kingston, right back to Edmond.
And can everybody do me a favor? Tweet at Chris Gregory, hashtag Chris Leaving Addiction.
Why you got to be picking on Chris Leaving, man? Don't mention him with Utter Butter. Just because Chris tripped him in on his fucking supply of Utter Butter and chipped his tooth, had to go to the doctor for morphine. I mean, this guy was going to get in the cage last weekend?
Yeah, that's what I said. That was his excuse for when he got hit in the mouth, he could just fall down and be like, I had a loose tooth. And I just get hurt when you hit it.
Yeah, you know, but remember, Cage Warrior Combat 6, Kingston, Washington, the Point Casino. I'll be there. Jeff from Clinch Trip from Mouth Guards will be there.
Enough
Rob King will be fighting for a fucking title. That means
nice.
Eddie Blackburn will be there.
And let
August
me tell
3rd,
you, if you
I
show up
Landon
wearing a Madhouse shirt with a Clinch Custom Mouth Guard in, I guarantee you women are taking you home.
Oh, for sure. There will be somebody in a Madhouse shirt. I just don't know who.
Well, speaking of Madhouse, I'm wrapping up. I gotta go. Eagle!
You should have
seen. Cool, man.
Cool, man.
I'm not gonna go there. I'm not gonna go there because I like your wife.
I'd like to meet fucking Bill Miner, famous train robber. He was the first bandit to say, hands up, cocksuckers. In 1906, though, things got all fucked. Now, just east of Kamloops, the Imperial Limited headed towards Vancouver. Hands up, you cocksucker, says Miner and his friends to the engineer. Take the engine and that car up the track. Took the wrong fucking car. This was the baggage car. Not the fucking express car.
All they could find was some goddamn liver pills. Soon after, a police posse took after him. Who the fuck are you? The sergeant asked. Why don't you fucking blow me? Says Bill Miner. But one of his friends panicked. We're fucked, boys, he says. It's all up. Police found a gun and a bottle of goddamn liver pills. Hands up, you cocksucker, says the sergeant. Hey,